We'll just wait for the big green tub to come back. Thank you. Let's just pray. Father God, thank you that we have everything that we need. We have food and we have homes that you have given to us so that we can look after ourselves. And with this bit that we've given back to you, it's all yours, but with this bit that we've given back to your work, we pray that you'll do great things. Amen. So there's no heroes this morning, but it's going to be quite short what I'm going to say, I promise. And also it's going to include cartoons. So we're going to have a look at a bit of the Bible which features this guy. So if you are a keen student of the Action Bible, you might just recognize who that is. Someone want to have a guess who that is? What's that, sorry? Samson? No, muscles not big enough, no. Peter? No, you got longer ago. Oh! Woo. Which switch did you flick? Oh, yeah, Helen and Isaac, no, but they have an unfair advantage as they're doing the reading later. So, shall I tell you the answer? Jonah. This is Jonah. Now, when I was preparing, after I'd already done about three quarters of the preparation, I discovered that Gavin had already spoken on Jonah earlier this year. But he didn't use cartoons, so, you know, so it's worth doing again. Right. So last week, Gav spoke to us about, do you remember the four chairs? The ad out the front here, and he was talking about the people he visited in India, how when they go to villages to start churches, they look for the person of peace. So this week, we're thinking about someone else who was sent. Oh, he's gone. Yeah. So Jesus sent out 72 people to villages. Jonah was also sent out in a sort of similar way. So we're going to think about Jonah. And then we're going to loop back to thinking about the 72 a bit and think about us and how we're sent out. Okay, now we're mainly going to think about the fourth chapter of Jonah, the last one. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to sort of speed through the first three chapters with the help of cartoons. And then Isaac and Helen are going to come and read the fourth chapter for us. And we're going to have a little bit of time just thinking about that and letting God speak to us through that. So let's see, where are we? So just a quick bit of background first. Jonah lived about 2,800 years ago. That's a long time. At that time, the kingdom of Israel was divided into two kingdoms, one in the south called Judah, and one in the north, rather confusingly, called Israel. So Jonah lived in the northern kingdom, and he was a prophet, someone who heard God's voice and spoke his message to the people. Right, so let's have the first picture then. So here is Jonah doing his prophet stuff in Israel, walking along, hearing a message from God, because he did, he was a prophet, he heard from God, and but it wasn't a message that he wanted to hear, okay? God said to him, there it is, go to the corrupt city of Nineveh and tell the people that if they don't turn away from their sins, I will destroy them. Now, Jonah agreed with God that Nineveh was corrupt and a wicked, terrible place because it was the capital city of Assyria. And Assyria was like the local bully, really, the country that sort of squished all the others and pushed them around. So Jonah thought, yes, God, I agree, they're wicked and they need destroying, but I don't really want to warn them. Thank you very much. I just want you to go straight to the bit where you destroy them. So Jonah didn't do what God said, and he ran away. Now, here's a little map. I meant to bring a little laser pointer to point at it, but I forgot. So, right, okay. So here is where Jonah lives in Israel, and there's where he's been told to go, to Nineveh. Now, you can't tell from the map, but that is 550 miles away. Now, if we wanted to travel that far, I don't know, maybe some of you have been that far on holiday, it would take you a day or two in a car or on a coach, on a train. That would take a while. Jonah traveled by foot or by donkey. So it would take him a month or two to travel that far. So that's probably another reason he didn't want to do it. It's like, I don't like them and it's a long way away. No, I don't want to go. But his long way away excuse wasn't very good, because instead he got on a boat going all the way to here, Tarshish in Spain. It wasn't called Spain then. But so he was running away, basically. He wanted to run away from God. And what happened next? Oh, wait, you're jumping ahead. Jason knows the story. But what happened next was a terrifying storm, massive storm blew up, and the sailors started to say to the people on the ship, look, so one of you must have made God angry. One of you must have upset God. Who is it? And Jonah confessed, and he said, well, I'm running away from God. And they went, well, it's you then. And what can we do to stop this storm? And Jonah said, throw me into the sea and it'll stop. They didn't want to do that, but the storm got worse, so they did throw him into the sea. And then Jason was right. Yeah, he got swallowed by a giant fish. And while he was inside the fish, Jonah realized he'd been doing the wrong thing, said sorry, and then God sent the fish to... Next picture. Oh, there we go. Spit him out onto the land. And this time he did set off to go to Nineveh and give them the message. So he got to Nineveh, started telling them, saying, God's going to destroy you all. And to Jonah's massive surprise, they listened to him. Even the king. They wore their funeral clothes, they sat in the dust, they bowed down to God, they said, sorry, God, you know, we want to change, please don't destroy our city. And God didn't destroy it. So that worked. Brilliant. But Jonah wasn't very happy about it. So we're going to read Jonah chapter 4 together. So try and, if you want to grab a Bible that's near you, that is in, I should have checked what page this was on. And my reading team is going to come and read it. When someone finds it, tell me where it is. 897. Brilliant. You might, if you've got a diff, you might have a Bible where it's on 896 or 898, but it'll be near there. Oh, have you got it already written down? Okay.
Okay, so we're doing an also illustrated version of the reading today. So Isaac has drawn some pictures to go along with the reading. Thanks, Liz. Okay, ready? Okay. Jonah was very unhappy about this and became angry. So he prayed, Lord, didn't I say before I left home that this is just what you would do? That's why I did my best to run away to Spain. I know that you're a loving and merciful God, always patient, always kind, and always ready to change your mind and not punish. Now, Lord, let me die. I'm better off dead than alive. The Lord answered, what right have you to be angry? Jonah went out east of the city and sat down. He made a shelter for himself. And he sat in its shade, waiting to see what would happen to Nineveh. Then the Lord God made a plant grow up over Jonah to give him some shade so that he would be more comfortable. Jonah was extremely pleased with the plant, as you can see from his big smiley face. It doesn't say that in my version of the Bible. But at dawn the next day, at God's command, a worm attacked the plant and it died. Not such a happy Jonah. After the sun had risen, God sent a hot east wind. And Jonah was about to faint from the heat of the sun beating down on his head, so he wished he were dead. I'm better off dead than alive, he said. But God said to him, what right have you to be angry about the plant? Jonah replied, I have every right to be angry enough to die. The Lord said to him, This plant grew up in one night and disappeared the next. You didn't do anything for it, and you didn't make it grow, yet you feel sorry for it. How much more, then, should I have pity on Nineveh, that great city? After all, it has more than 120,000 innocent children in it, as well as many animals.
Thank you, Team Rawlings. Okay. Right. So let's have a think about chapter 4 that we've just heard. So Jonah, after Nineveh hasn't been destroyed, he gets into something. So sticking with the cartoon theme here, Jonah gets into something that rhymes with this. Okay. So, yeah. So who's that? Hulk. Yeah, so Jonah gets into something that rhymes with Hulk. Kulk, no. Oh, sulk, yes. He gets into a sulk. Now, probably, I'm going to have a guess and say we probably all get in a sulk sometimes. You know, maybe we get in a sulk with someone in our family or someone at work or someone in our class or someone on our street. Sometimes we can even get in a sulk with God when he hasn't done what we wanted him to. And this is what happened to Jonah. He wanted God to destroy Nineveh, and he didn't do it. So he got in a sulk. But, ooh, just turn the other one off. That's not this one. No, press the little button at the top. There, am I you can still hear me. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, good. Techie lessons. Right. Okay. Where were we? Right, so God is very gentle with Jonah when he's in his sulk. He doesn't say, he could just go, Jonah, I am God and you are wrong. But he doesn't do that, does he? Instead, he sets Jonah up to try and find out what he has in his heart. So I've got here a heart, okay? Can you see it? So he's setting Jonah up to find out what's in his heart. So who wants to open the heart-shaped box and find out? Oh, go on, Dan. You put your hand up first. Open the heart-shaped box. Have you got Hulk on your top? Right. Brilliant. This is the first time we ever had something from your top on the screen. So just take that piece of paper out and unfold it, and let's find out what's in Jonah's heart. Thank you. I folded it up rather a lot of times to make it fit. What's that?
Some kind of plant. I said some kind of plant.
Some kind of plant. Thank you, Dan. So there we go. Some kind of plant. A plant that grew up over Jonah's head. Like God said, it was there one day and gone the next, but he really cared about it and got really upset when it died. So, Jonah thought, I love this plant. You know, it's really green and healthy, gives me shade so I don't have to sit in the sun. But then the worm comes, and so God has his little chat with Jonah and says, So Jonah, did you like that plant? He says, yes, I did. And God says, well, that was in your heart, Jonah. Do you want to find out what's in my heart? So let's just quickly cram them in there. Let's have the second appearance of the box now. Okay, so, all right. Boys, you've now already both had a starring role, so I feel like maybe I should let someone else have a turn at opening the box for the second time. Right, Jason's got his hand up, Con. Let's let Jason open the box for the second time. Okay, so what's in God's heart? There we go. Oh, two bits of paper this time, crammed in so hard that they're very difficult to get out. Okay. Tell us what's on the picture, please, Jason.
Sheep.
Sheep, well, or maybe goats. Have we got a picture of the sheep or the goats? I can't remember. Oh, that's the next one. There's the sheep or the goat, or the goats. I think they're goats. And also a picture of... Folded it up very small.
People.
Lots of people. Yeah, yeah. I reckon probably about 2,000 people in that picture. But can you remember how many people did God say were in Nineveh? 120,000? Yeah, and he might have been saying that there were 120,000 children, that there are even more people. So a lot of people. And animals too. So God has, if this is the size of our heart, obviously physically it's a bit bigger than that, but like if we think of like how much we can fit in our heart, if that's the size of our heart, God's heart is enormous, isn't it? Big. He's got so much love. He's got so much love that the Bible says he is love. And even the bullies and the thugs and the evil people of this world, who we want God to just, you know, punish and stop them, God loves them too. His heart's enormous. So, yeah, our hearts are not as big. We've got some people in them, our families, or some members of our family, our close friends, some of the people at church. So we've got some people who are in our hearts and some people who are outside who just, we don't really care about that much. It can be a bit like a football team sometimes. The people inside are on our side and the people outside are on the other side. And sometimes we feel like we need God's help. We want him to come and be on our side, don't we? Because the people on the outside are giving us a bit of trouble. And we say, God, you know, come and be on my side. I thought you were on my side. But God's got a better idea. He wants us to come and be on his side. And so he says, well, instead of me coming in and trying to help the people in your heart, why don't you come in and see who's in my heart? And we say, well, but God, everyone's in here. I know, everyone. So I want to ask the Holy Spirit to come now and stretch our hearts and make them a bit bigger. We're going to do that in a couple of minutes. Before we get to that, I just want to talk a bit about how God did that for me recently and how it happened. Because recently I was getting a bit fed up with Bradford. I'm quite good at looking at Bradford and seeing the good things, seeing the families, the love, beautiful old buildings, the churches that are here, as in the people, the churches, and the work that God is doing in this city. I'm good at looking at Bradford and seeing the good things. But recently, I was starting to see the litter, the concrete and tarmac pushing out the green living things, the poverty, the empty shops. I'm feeling like, God, I'm a bit fed up with this. I don't want to look at it anymore. So God spoke to me through this. It's probably two pictures on now. Not that one. Next one. There. Okay. So who likes dogs? Who likes dogs? Let's see. A few people. Right. Is there someone here who doesn't know this dog, our dog Rocky? Let's see. Jason, you do know him. Someone who doesn't know him. Someone who's never met him. Never met. Go on. Louise, how big do you think this dog is? He is tiny, yeah, yeah. I was trying to, with that picture, make him look enormous, but he's tiny. So, okay, so let me tell you a bit about Rocky. So Rocky is not like his ancestors, okay? He isn't a wolf. He doesn't hunt for his own food in a pack and live in the wild and howl at the moon. He lives a very sheltered life, really. We provide his food. He sleeps on a blanket on the sofa and on our laps. He loves going out for his little walks and peeing on things. It's the only life he's ever known. And he's full of affection and joy. He really likes this life, that's his. He doesn't know that his ancestors were wolves and lived very different lives. He doesn't know about that. And I really love Rocky. So a bit like with Jonah and the plant, sort of God spoke to me through Rocky, but fortunately Rocky didn't have to die for me to get the message. And just sort of said to me, you know, you love this little creature who just accepts life as he finds it. And in Bradford, there are 350,000 people who are living the only life they've ever known. Some of them joyfully, probably more of them a bit miserably. And they're all precious to God. They're all precious to him. So God stretched my heart through Rocky, okay? And we're going to ask God now to do that for each one of us. So we're going to ask him to show us who's in his heart. Now, you might think, what's the point in that? I know the answer. You've already told us everyone's in his heart. But actually, yeah, we're not trying to stretch our hearts yet to fit everyone in. That would be, oh, goodness, maybe one day we'll get there. But we're just doing it a bit at a time. So those 72 people who Jesus sent out, they only had to have hearts big enough right then for the villages they were going to, okay? Just for one village at a time. So God wants our hearts to be bigger, but he's going to do it a bit at a time. So we're just going to take 3 or 4 minutes now to just sit with God and ask him to stretch our hearts. Now, some of us, when we're asking God to speak to us, we like to do it sitting quietly with our eyes shut. Some of us might like to walk around, look at the pictures, or look out the window. You can come and look at the heart-shaped box if that's helpful. Come and pick it up. There's nothing in it now. If you want, you can come and get one of these that I've made here. Now, this is a little, it's just a little piece of paper, and on it, it's got a football jersey with a number 1 on it and Jesus at the top to remind us that we're on Jesus' team. Not he's on our team, we're on his team. So you can come and get one of them if you want. So we're just going to, starting in a couple of seconds, where what I would say, though, is whatever you do in these 3 or 4 minutes, please try not to talk. Just let other people have the sort of quiet, unless you're 2. If you're 2, that's okay. You can talk. And Grace is going to put some quiet music on, and maybe we'll just go to the picture of the world rather than the picture of Rocky. Even though I really like the picture of Rocky there. That's just helpful as well, all of those people on there are in God's heart. Okay? So you just go, wait. So just pause it a sec. I'll just pray. And then we'll, okay. Father God, thank you that you've got the whole world in your hands, you've got the whole world in your heart. And we pray that you'll stretch our hearts now. Increase our love for the people that you love, for the creatures that you love. Speak to us now, I pray. Amen.
Like the frost on a rose, winter comes for us all. Oh, how nature acquaints us. With the nature of patience, like a seed in the snow, I've been buried to grow. For your promise is loyal, from seed to sequoia. For me, like a seed.
Father God, thank you for your love for us. Keep on speaking to us this morning and today, this week. Keep on increasing our love and doing your work through us. Amen. Amen.